Well, Father, I just thank you. I just feel your beautiful presence so strong here tonight. And I know you've come our way once again tonight to give us a message that will redeem us and set us free. And Father God, those in here who are refusing to receive your love and your salvation, Father God, I'm just placing them in a bubble tonight where the enemy cannot harass and torment, but where your Holy Spirit can go in there and minister salvation to them. And Father God, all those who are out there in the world who don't know you but would love to find love and peace, I'm asking that you send your angels on assignment to minister to them and to bring them peace in their troubled storms. And Father God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad you're free and that you're not sitting under a rock, under a bridge, or homeless? Aren't you glad of that? I don't care if we've been homeless at one point. We're not homeless tonight. I don't care if you aren't even in a home. You're not homeless because you're resting in the arms of Jesus. That's the awesome part. Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. All right. I asked God what he was going to give for tonight, I heard the word density. And that means the degree of compactness of a substance. Okay, that's good, God. All right, so I just typed that in there. You know? And then I sat there a while. He didn't say anything. I left to come back. And then he started this. God said, everywhere you look lies destruction upon destruction. Fact. This is the gross darkness I spoke about. Many thought they understood what gross darkness was, but they were not ready for what is going on in the world. Even my very elect are standing in awe of the cold-hearted darkness that has crept in across this great land. I'm one of those. I thought I was prepared for whatever came across this land, but I'm not. You know, when I read about the people that were killed there in Virginia, I sat and I cried. Because their families were never going to see them again alive. And, you know, and the man was fired, and that's why he killed them. And I thought, God, what has this world come to? And then you read other things, you know, that, and you say, I'm just not prepared for all this hate and all this total disregard for what Jesus did on the cross. I'm not prepared for the blatant sin in people's lives, and they look at you like you're nuts, and they think they're all right. I'm not prepared for that. I wasn't raised like that. And I thought I was because God told me this gross darkness was coming. But how much more darker is it going to be? You know, we have to come to grips with that darkness today. You know, and I told God yesterday, I still haven't come to grips with it. Because I can't believe hate is a terrible thing. And when you're living in blatant sin, you are living in hate. You hate Jesus. You hate what he stands for. And you're giving the enemy all honor and all glory. Gross darkness. God said, understand that I have one agenda and the enemy has a totally different agenda. But my agenda will prevail. You can follow the devil all you want, but God's agenda is going to prevail. My people who are called by my name must at all cost rise up above this gross darkness and become a light set upon the hillside that will lead the lost out of the abyss. Let's read that again, Brett. My people who are called by my name must at all cost rise up above this gross darkness and become a light set upon the hillside that will lead the lost out of the abyss. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's just stop here. And I had to come to grips as God was giving me this. And I have been in a really bad state of depression since my husband passed away and everything that happened, you know. And so when God spoke this to me to give, he gave me this Saturday, I realized I was one of those that had to rise above the gross darkness, get out of the depression, and come and become a light once again. He said, set upon the hillside that will lead the lost out of the abyss. As I looked around about me, I realized that the enemy was stealing my family. And he was having me in a state of depression where I was trying to survive each and every day while he was totally destroying my children once again. And he will work on your children if you're not at your post. So I had to start a regime of praying for my children once again, because the enemy's really has a stronghold built now for the past year, that because I was in depression, I wasn't paying attention. How many of you might be there too? If you're not there, you might go there. But because you hear this testimony tonight, you won't go there, because you realize the enemy's trying to take you into a dark hole so he can steal your family. Are you understanding this? God said, believe me when I say the lost are searching for a way out of this mess that they are in, and they do not know how to overcome this darkness that lies on all sides. Believe me when I say the lost are searching for a way out of this mess that they are in, and they do not know how to overcome this darkness that lies on all sides. But you, my children, as you seek my face, you will receive everything you need to lead a lost and dying generation into the marvelous light of my love. And, you know, Aaron played a lot of songs about God's love tonight. And I thought, God, you're so good. You knew exactly what we needed to hear so we could go forth and be a light in a dark, dark place. And God, he made this statement, I have separated the wheat from the chaff already. And it is the wheat that I am enduing with power on high to reach the lost. If I was y'all, I would be saying amen right now, hallelujah. I'd be shouting praises because you're here. And God's been speaking wonderful things over you. So you're the wheat. You're the wheat, all right? God said, so many of mine being persecuted unlawfully at this given time, and I need these ones so full of me that they will stay the course at all cost. Look what he said. So many of mine being persecuted unlawfully at this given time. In other words, the enemy has gone against God's direction, and he's persecuting you unlawfully. All right? At this given time, and I need these ones, us who are being persecuted unlawfully, he needs us so full of him that we will stay the course at all cost. We won't go into depression again. We won't go into a dark hole. But we will remain the light. We will understand that the enemy has lost his grip on us. And we're never going to go back there ever again. Be prepared, God said, be prepared at all times to defeat the enemy that rages against my beloved ones. Be prepared to take up the sword and sever the giant's head from his body. Be prepared at all costs to stand in the gap for your brother or sister that you see being unduly persecuted. Don't be like the world and step on them and crush them while they're down. Pray for them. Run to the prayer closet, cry out to a living God, a God who hears each and every prayer that proceeds forth from your mouths. God does hear your prayer. I don't care if you see an answer right away or not. He does hear a prayer, all your prayers. And just like Daniel, when he prayed, there was a fight in heaven to keep our answer to our prayers from coming down. And that's exactly what's going on now, because if most people don't get an answer to their prayer, they get discouraged and quit. But Daniel stayed, it was Daniel, right? He stayed the course, and he kept praying for 21 days, and finally the battle was over and the answer came. God said, this is rubber meets the road time, the time when you put your money where your mouth is. In other words, what you say with your lips will now have to become action. There can no longer be just talk. You will have to draw upon your faith, and you will have to become a water walker and defeat the giants in your own life and then in the lives of others. Let's read this again. This is rubber meets the road time. You old guys, you've heard that before. Maybe the younger guys haven't, but us old people have, right? When you put your money where your mouth is, in other words, what you say with your lips will now have to become action. There can no longer be just talk. You will have to draw upon your faith, and you will have to become a water walker and defeat the giants in your own life and then in the lives of others. And like I said, I didn't realize I was in depression until Saturday. And the day before I came here, a member of my family came, and they were crying out to me, and they said, "Nobody cares." I said, "Honey, I care." He said, "But you have your own set of problems, and you haven't been there for me." And they said, "I'm not blaming you, but I just need to know that somebody still cares." You see what was going on? The enemy took me into depression so that I couldn't see that somebody I loved dearly needed my love. And so the enemy took them down a road that they don't want to be on. Are you listening here? Now is a time, where am I at here? Many are desperate at this given time. Even those who sit in my house that are truly mine have become desperate, and some have become hopeless. And we do see that in the house of God. Now is a time you must cross over that bridge you built for yourself. Remember our little sign here. The bridge that you built for yourself, and bring others over with you. You are being called this night to be encouragers to a lost and dying generation. And I was an encourager tonight before I came to church. Are you an encourager? Whenever God said that young lady needed love, you laid down there with her and you encouraged her and you poured love into her. We don't really understand what God is doing. 99% of the time we don't understand. And God wants us to understand all the time what he is doing, just not every now and then. Now is the time to quit fighting about who has more giftings at work in their lives. This is a time to come into complete unity and allow all the giftings work and see miracles occur on all sides. See that? Now is the time to quit fighting about who has more giftings at work in their lives. This is the time to come into complete unity and allow all the giftings work and see miracles occur on all sides. You know, we have a lot of people out there working now. And, you know, they're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happen. We can't be jealous of, because now somebody else is out there. And their giftings are at work. That's what destroyed Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. She was jealous because God anointed somebody else with the very same anointing that she had. And she had a heart attack and died. We cannot be jealous of another's work. We can't. We just have to be, what did he say we have to be? Well, let's just read the scripture here. Romans 12, verse 6. We all have different gifts. Each gift came because of the grace God gave us. Whoever has a gift of prophecy should use that gift in a way that fits the kind of faith they have. Whoever has a gift of serving should serve. Whoever has a gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has a gift of comforting others should do that. Whoever has a gift of giving to help others should give generously. Whoever has a gift of leading should work hard at it. And whoever has a gift of showing kindness to others should do it gladly. And verse 9 said, your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Do only what is good. Love each other in a way that makes you feel close like brothers and sisters. And give each other more honor than you give yourself. As you serve the Lord, work hard and don't be lazy. Be excited about serving him. Be happy because of the hope you have. Be patient when you have troubles. Pray all the time. Share with God's people who need help. Look for people who need help, the Bible tells you. And welcome them into where? Your homes. All right, do you meet the criteria in Romans 12, 6 through 13? If you noticed, you know, I didn't prophesy very much for the past year. But if you notice, God has been using me again. Why? Because I'm out of the state of depression. And I'm saying, all right, God, you can start using me again. Are you looking at this? Yeah, God gave me the gift. He called me a prophet. And he gave me that gift. And I sat on it for a year. So it's because I sat on my gift for a year, people weren't blessed to their fullness as they ought to have been. Are you all understanding this? You have to start using your gifts and use them wisely. Allow God to use you to minister to other people. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has shown you his grace in many different ways. So be good servants and use whatever gift he has given you in a way that will best serve each other. Read that again. God has shown you his grace in many different ways. So be good servants and use whatever gift he has given you in a way that will best serve each other. If your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen. I want to stop there because you, Alan, you work in the altar tonight. That was your gift. You were a servant tonight for God to move the rock. And as he was moved one time, he said, he is also my solid rock, holding my rock, a refuge. So you see, that was a gift that you have inside of you to be a servant, and you were using it very wisely tonight. You see, we don't use the gifts that God gives. We think, well, they're just little, they're nothing. Every gift is important in God's kingdom. I loved how Adam did it this morning. When them ladies fell, he just grabbed them and dragged them right off that rock. I mean, so much wisdom. I said, wow, look what he's doing. Pulling them as he had them all in a little circle like a flower. And the rock was the middle. But I thought that was awesome the way he did that. I'd never seen that done before. Thank you, Adam. I enjoyed watching that. All right, back to what God says. God says, if I tell you a truth, little ones, not one jot or tittle will pass away before all is fulfilled. And Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. God says, I need you to be peacemakers at this given time. I need you to be so full of me that you will fulfill all that I command you to fulfill. I need you to be oh so much like my son Jesus, where persecution will not deter you in any way. I need you to walk upright before me in all of your ways, and I need you to be undaunted in every area of your lives. So let's read that again and see what God needs you to be. I need you to be a peacemaker at this given time. I need you to be so full of me that you will fulfill all that I command you to fulfill. I need you to be oh so much like my son Jesus, where persecution will not deter you in any way. I need you to walk upright before me in all of your ways, and I need you to be undaunted in every area of your lives. That's what God needs. Do you have that in you? Can you do what he's asking you to do tonight? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you do that? Do you fill that criteria? Are you a peacemaker? God told me, he said, you have a troublemaker in your home. And they go from one to the other spreading trouble. And so I had to pray against the troublemaker. See, God will reveal to you what's going on around about you if you're walking close to him and your ears are in tune to him. And Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You're supposed to pursue peace and holiness. Amen. God said, I need you to be long-suffering. Here's something else I need you to be. A peacemaker, now long-suffering. and forget about yourself and sell yourself out to me so I can send you forth to minister to those who have been dealt the blows of injustice. These are so broken in spirit, soul, and body that they believe there is no more hope. They sit in that pigsty of hopelessness, thinking there is no way out, but you and I know differently, and we need to go and prove to them that heaven is real and the pigsty is not. That's your assignment, Sister Elaine, is you're going up there in the streets of Wilmington. You're to be long-suffering. Well, let's read that again. You need to be long-suffering. Forget about, and I know you are, and I know you do forget about yourself, and sell yourself out to me so I can send you forth to minister to those who have been dealt the blows of injustice. These are so broken in spirit, soul, and body that they believe there is no more hope. They sit in that pigsty of hopelessness, thinking there is no way out. But you and I know differently, and we need to go and prove to them that heaven is real and the pigsty is not. God said this journey is long and it's tedious, but you can do it because he's equipped each one of us to go forth and to help the destitute. Then God says, jump, little ones, jump for joy and leap at the chance to go to the prostitutes, the down and outers, the forgotten, and all who dwell in a pigsty of destitution. We should be excited that God has chosen us for this assignment in this end time dispensation. We should be excited that he looked down at us and he found us worthy to anoint us and send us forth. We shouldn't be complaining. We should feel very excited. God said, My word says, freely you have received, freely give. In Matthew 10:5-8, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, this is his 12 disciples, and Jesus told them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So now as you read this, God is saying, do not go into the way of the church, but go in the way of the Gentiles, because he's finished with the church. And now he's sending us out to the Gentiles. He said, but go rather to the lost sheep that are on the street, not the lost sheep in the house of God. All right? So we are to be ministering to those on the outside now, because God has done all the work he can do on the inside. God said, I am commanding you this day to go forth and freely give out what I have bestowed upon and in you. Give until it hurts. Give until you see the love penetrate a darkened heart. Give until it hurts. Give until you see the love penetrate a darkened heart. Give until you see the knee bow to a living God. Give, children, give. Freely you have received, now freely give. I want each one of you to always remember from whence you came. I want you to remember where you were at different times and periods in your life, the pigsty you were sitting in, and how God came, and he pulled you out of that pigsty. And I'm hearing him say, nothing ever happened overnight. It took a season or two, but I pulled you out totally and completely, and cleansed you and brought you forth for such a time as this. God said, go forth with praise upon your lips. Never go bound up. If you know there's something wrong with you, then get rid of it before you go. Go forth undaunted by the cares of this world, and as you go forth totally free from all bondages, you will see the landslide of souls I have been speaking about. Go forth undaunted by the cares of this world, and as you go forth totally free from all bondages, you will see the landslide of souls that I have been speaking about. I need you to bring the lost full circle round, just as I have brought you full circle round. I need you to instill within them the love of a heavenly Father, a Father that loves beyond measure, and a Father that does not hold their sins against them, but throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. Children, I just need you to go to the lepers and set them free. He just flat needs us. He shouldn't have to tell us why. We should just be willing to go. Micah 7, verse 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. See, so why do you keep allowing the enemy to make you believe that your past sins are holding you back? Because they are not. The enemy is speaking lies into your minds, and you're believing those lies. God's word says he's thrown those sins into the sea. And Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, God speaking, and I will not remember your sins. See that? God blots out your transgressions for his sake, so that he can use you and send you forth undaunted, cleansed, full of the Holy Spirit to do a perfect work for a perfect God. In Jeremiah 50, verse 20 says, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. See that? When people look at you, they won't even be able to see any sins. They won't remember any sins. And the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. Alan, God has pardoned all your sins. Don't ever allow the enemy to put you in bondage. It's not your fault about anything, and you've been blaming yourself. And God said each has their own will, and you can't change a will. You go forth, and you do the things God's calling you for to do, and allow him to use you to free those who really want to be set free. Do not be one of those sitting in my houses that have become a stench to my nostrils. Do not be one of those sitting in my houses that have become a stench to my nostrils. Instead, become a trailblazer. Now he wants you to be a trailblazer. For all those who are lost and do not know how to find their way out of the slums of despair. Do you see how important this message is tonight? Instead, become a trailblazer for all those who are lost and do not know how to find their way out of the slums of despair. My children, you have been sitting in my presence, soaking up all of me for far too long now. And now it is time you go forth with healing in your wings and heal the lost and dying ones. It is truly miracle-working time, children, and I so desire to drop that Shekinah glory into my camps and cause all the miracles to begin to happen. Do you hear that? Where is your camp? Your camp is your home, right? Your camp is your workplace. Camp is a street. And he says, it is truly miracle-working time, children, and I so desire to drop that Shekinah glory into my camps and cause all the miracles to begin to happen. Now he wants you to become a fire starter. Will you become a fire starter? It should be starter, not started. Will you be one that I can trust with all the glory? Think about what he's asking you. Will you be one that will carry the heavy weight of my Shekinah glory to a lost and dying generation of young people who have never had a real chance to know me in all of my fullness? Can I trust you with kingdom wisdom? Now let's stop there. You know, the word Shekinah is not in the Bible. But in the Hebrew it said it, that people thought the glory was so strong that they put Shekinah behind it, before it. So it says, will you become a fire starter? Will you be one that I can trust with all the glory? Will you be one that will carry the heavy weight of my Shekinah glory to a lost and dying generation of young people who have never had a real chance to know me in all my fullness? Can I trust you with kingdom wisdom? See, he's saying he wants to send you to young people who have never had a real chance to know about Jesus. Now, he's upset with the ones who sit in the house of God and know all about Jesus, but still have chosen to forsake him. He's finished with those. And he wants to move on now to the street people. You know, if you really talk to your people, they will tell you they never really knew Jesus, right? They never had anybody to tell them about Jesus and about how Jesus loves them. If you're really listening to what they're saying, this is what they're telling you. I don't know how many street people that I've talked to, you know, in the past couple of years, 3 years, and they said, I didn't even know there was a Jesus. First time one of them told me that, I stood in total awe. I thought, everybody surely has heard about Jesus. And then with the one I ministered to just 2 months ago, he comes and goes to at my house, and he said, I'll never forget that night when she laid her hands on me and told me there was a Jesus that loved me and that I was worth something. He said, totally changed my life. And now I look at everything differently. It's all because she came out here on this porch and laid her hands on me crying, saying, there's somebody that does love you, and that somebody is Jesus. Because his mother and father don't love him. They let him know all the time how much they don't love him. But now he knows. And now his life is changing. And isn't that awesome? So awesome. And that night when they come, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm in my night clothes, there's somebody out here who really needs prayer. And I told them you would be willing to come and pray for them. So I said, let me come in my night clothes, threw on a house coat and went on out there. And there he sat so distraught, crying, hurting to the very core of his being. And his son has a disease, and his son, the doctor said, is going to die. But we decreed and declared that son would live and not die. Yeah. And he said, the son is improving. So I think that's awesome. And God went on to say, can I download myself into you? Will you become one with me? Will you brighten up your light and take it to a dark generation? Can I download myself into you? Let your light so shine among men that all darkness will have to flee. It will have no other choice. Children, it is destiny time once again. And those who are lost need to understand that there is a destiny for them to fulfill. And I hope, Pastor, you're telling your people that you minister to on the weekends that they do have a destiny. And the only way they are going to know that is if you take that knowledge to them. But you also have to carry this anointing that destroys every yoke and bring them full circle round. Let's read that again. Children, it is destiny time once again, and those who are lost need to understand that there is a destiny for them to fulfill. And the only way they are going to know that is if you take that knowledge to them. But you also have to carry this anointing that destroys every yoke and bring them full circle around. So that anointing is that download of himself that he wants to pour into you. And John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Then Revelation 18, verse 1 says, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. The reason why I put this down is because years ago, God told me that America was Babylon. Before all the stuff started coming. And I told that to a minister, and they chased me out of their house. And so this is what I just want you to read this, Revelation 18:1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Isn't that what's happened to America? For For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. America is Babylon, as we sit here and speak. And God is asking us not to leave America, but come out from among those who are living in sin in America. You know, lesbianism and prostitution and homosexuality are running rampant. And I look at people who live that lifestyle and I think, how can you so blatantly go against the Word of God? The Word of God tells you very clearly that that is a sin against God. And even having sex with animals. But as you read the Word, you start at the beginning. And it was in the beginning and it's all through the Word. But that does not make it right. That is sin against sin against sin. And you, that sin, you're degrading your vessel, and that vessel is God's vessel. And you're degrading that vessel, and it really is upsetting God that these types of things are going on, and America is approving of it. I hope and pray that you are sitting here in the church tonight, that you do not approve of those type of things, because the Word of God says it is sin. And when people who are doing this stand before God, they will have no excuse whatsoever. They can't say, well, but will not cut it. You've been told the truth, and the truth is supposed to set you free. God is looking for vessels of honor tonight. What did he say? He wanted to download himself into you. Is that what he said? And this is what God is looking for tonight. You know, you can't live another person's life. And you can't, and I have found out over the years, you cannot allow your children to destroy your walk with God. Because you can be so caught up in trying to get them out of the pits of hell, the fires of hell, mere in God's sake, that you yourself get lost. Because while you're trying to save a soul that really doesn't want to be saved, the enemy comes behind and starts snatching at you. And so you have to make a decision. I've had to make this decision. You have to leave your children where they're at and God, put them in God's hands. Then you have to walk on. Even though you're watching them slip each day into the abyss, you have to keep walking on with God. You've taught them right from wrong. And there's no more you can do. You just have to keep walking. One day my brother said to me, I can't believe that your children do the things they do because I know you've always lived a righteous life and you always brought them upright. My brothers were brought up right too. And they said, we just can't believe. But see, so I can't live their lives for them. I can't pull them out of hell. They have to do that themselves. And this is what I think is so wonderful about the Connell girls, because they're pulling themselves out of the pit. They are seeing the truth. And they are saying, I'm not going to live that lifestyle anymore. I'm going to live the lifestyle that Mom and Dad have been telling me about. So nothing goes in vain. Everything you say to your children, you know, if it's anointed of God, it's a seed. But you can't stand there and you can't do the harvesting. You can't be plowing up the ground. You know, you've done all you know to do. Now just walk on and let God be God. And however it falls, it falls. So how many of you want God to download himself into you tonight? If you want that, come on up to the altar.